Welcome to this podcast from Adelaide Place Baptist Church. We are a community of disciples, apprentices of Jesus, who live and work in the city of Glasgow, and it's our vision to join God in the renewal of all things. Our discipleship to Jesus is for all of our lives, so as well as listening to this podcast, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning, or get involved in one of our missional communities, which are across the city throughout the week. Our prayer is that you encounter Jesus in some way through this podcast. More information can be found at apbc.net.
Well, hello, good morning. Welcome again to Adelaide Place, the first Sunday of Lent, as Stephen's mentioned. Maybe you want to share this morning in the live chats, perhaps something you're giving up for Lent, or maybe just what favourite pancake topping you had earlier this week, if you had pancakes. I'm pretty standard and go for butter and sugar, maybe a bit of lemon juice if I'm feeling adventurous. But share that, share what you're giving up, and share as well, as I'm sharing just now from Scripture, what God might be saying to you, Scriptures that come to mind. You know, I'm going to share some thoughts just now of what God might be saying, but this is not just about listening to one person talking. Let's together join in as a community of what God might be saying to us together. And I hope you're able to join in with our week of prayer and fasting as a church community this week. Just a different way that we focus on God and press into what he might have for us, giving up things that help us focus on him and hear what he might have to say. And you'll have heard, if you're new to Adelaide Place or visiting from, I guess, literally anywhere in the world, you'll have heard Stephen mention that we are in the middle of a series on the Sermon on the Mount, one of Jesus' most well-known teachings. And really in-your-face stuff gets to the heart of the issue and to the issue of our hearts. So have your Bible ready, and let me just pray as we continue to come before God just now and worship, to hear from what he might have to say through the Bible. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We thank you that you are already with us in our homes, wherever we are. And we invite you to come just now and speak to us, to fill us again, to have your way among us. Lord, we pray that you would speak, the living, one true God who brings life and who brings strength. We ask that you would speak to us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we have thought together over the past few weeks and months, both here on a Sunday and in our missional communities as well, about this teaching of Jesus, this sermon that he brings, and how we might align ourselves more and more to his ways, to his kingdom life that he promises and invites us into. And the Sermon on the Mount was never intended to be a to-do list or a list of rules simply to follow. As the New Testament scholar N.T. Wright puts it, these are signs of life, the language of life, the life that Jesus comes to bring. And so later in Matthew's Gospel, we read of Jesus himself saying, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. For Jesus, words were always outward signs of an inward condition. What we say matters because it reveals something more of what is going on in our heart. The past 2 weeks, we've revisited where we started, the beginning of Jesus' sermon, looking through the Beatitudes. And we thought the past 2 weeks about how we are called and commissioned to be active bringers of peace, to seek the rule and reign and justice of God here on earth now, considering how we might be a community that values difference and individuality, that as followers of Jesus, we are called to stand with, to stand for, and stand against as we join in the pursuit of racial justice. And today we're back in the teaching of Jesus through the Mosaic Law. You'll remember a few weeks ago, we considered together how Jesus said, I've not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. We reminded ourselves that entering into the kingdom of God requires a response today. It's not something that happens accidentally. The invitation is to submit to Jesus, trusting that he is the only way to be right before God and to live right before him, that he brings freedom from shame, that he brings transformation. He brings beauty from ashes. So if you've got a Bible handy or you've got your phone with a Bible app on it, then grab that just now. And we're in Matthew 5, starting at verse 33 today. Again, you heard it said, you heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall give to the Lord what you promised under oath. But I say to you, don't swear at all. Don't swear by heaven, it's God's throne. Don't swear by the earth, it's God's footstool. Don't swear by Jerusalem, it's the city of the great king. Don't swear by your head, you can't make one hair of it turn white or black. When you're talking, say yes when you mean yes, and no when you mean no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. Amen. So Jesus has been teaching in this second section of his sermon, mainly through the Ten Commandments so far, but in these verses we've read so far, he does something a bit different. He summarizes or paraphrases some verses, some passages that the people he was speaking to would have known really well. They'd have become part of their society and part of the fabric of how they lived each day. Verses like Deuteronomy 23, 21, if you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you'll be guilty of sin. Numbers 30, Leviticus 19, don't swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. And a number of other places, Psalm 50, Ecclesiastes 5. Safe to say, in the society in which Jesus was teaching, these oaths that people were swearing each day were well-established practice, and they were fundamental to how society operated. Now, as many of you will know, any opportunity to mention rugby, I'm a big fan of rugby and watching it, and the pain of last week was hard for me compared to the euphoric victory of Scotland over England. But what amuses me about watching rugby on TV now is that when players get a bit fired up, a bit passionate, and they run in to have a bit of an argument with another player, and they all kind of crowd round and they grab each other's shirts and there's a bit of pushing and shoving, but that's it. Because they know at any one moment there's about 30 cameras on them and they can't really get away with anything. There's nowhere to hide, even if they're adamant that they didn't actually hit someone or do something illegal in the game. Now, as you're probably aware, it won't come as a surprise that in the time Jesus was teaching, that wasn't the case. There were no CCTV cameras or smart cameras in your homes. And so the oath system was there to ensure truth, to give some kind of credibility or reliability to when someone promised to do something. These oaths invited accountability, they invited judgment, and they made it personal. To not fulfill an oath was seen as shameful, unrighteous even. The very act of swearing an oath was of drawing something or someone into what you were saying. To swear on that thing or person so that empty words or empty promises just weren't possible. Except somewhere along the line, some teachers, some rabbis, not all of them, but some of them, had started teaching that basically unless you invoked God's name, unless you swore an oath on the name of God, you could pretty much get away with doing what you like, or at least saying one thing and doing another. So if you swore on heaven, as Jesus mentions here, or a person, or a place, it was a bit of a gray area, but you could probably get away with not keeping your word. Essentially, as long as you swore an oath on anything other than God, you were probably okay. One scholar I read this week puts it like this. Their use of oaths was like children saying, I've got my fingers crossed so I can do what I like. I don't have to tell the truth. Let's come back to verse 34 here and read together to hear what Jesus says next. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Absolute bombshell from Jesus. You can almost hear the mutterings in the crowd and see the jaws drop, the eyebrows furrow. Remember, this was a fundamental part of society, and Jesus says, don't do that anymore. Here's a different way, as we'll come to see in a moment. Now, up until this point in the sermon, Jesus had been getting to the heart of the issue, the heart behind the command, as he's been teaching. But he doesn't do away with the command altogether. Here, however, he completely does away with this oath system that had become conflated and corrupted and interpreted how you like in that day. Now, it's important to note that Jesus is not doing away with law or with scripture, but rather he is ramping up the intensity in what he says here. He's inviting his listeners into a new way all together. Jesus, again, is getting behind the practice. He's all too aware and knows that we're the same, and if we're honest with ourselves, we can say things, we can adhere to mere religious practice or say the right thing that makes us look good and then go away and do something different altogether, like these people have been doing here at the time. But Jesus is saying, there's a higher call here that I have for you, a call to radical truthfulness. Your word should always be reliable without the need for an oath. You shouldn't have to convince someone that you are telling the truth. So if we keep going in verse 34, Jesus says, do not swear by heaven, by earth, by Jerusalem, or even by your own head. He says in doing that, you're not actually evading judgment, because God isn't limited to a place. He's not limited to the heavens. He's not limited to a person. But God is above all and in all and through all, as we read in Ephesians. So whilst we don't live in a society that relies day to day on swearing oaths to persuade people that we are keeping our word or convince them that we'll do what we say, we do live in a society where fake news is commonplace. You don't need me to tell you that. Where leaders of countries and companies, political parties, and devastatingly in some cases, churches and Christian organizations don't keep their word. They lie to get ahead, to benefit themselves, to get their own way, perhaps. And it's really no surprise that emerging generations are desperate for authenticity, for leaders who they can trust as people of their word. There was a recent article that said this: although the majority of Generation Z, that's people born between 97 and 2012, although the majority of that generation is not engaged in scriptural study and has a distrustful relationship with religious institutions, they are eager for trusted adults, including religious leaders, to invest in their lives. The call of Jesus is the same for us now as it was for those first listeners then. The call is to be a people who are known for their integrity, to be a people of our word. What if the church was not known as an institution to be distrusted, but as a people who were radically committed to the truth in every area of life? Jesus calls you and me to a better way, to a life marked by truth and integrity. And just to be absolutely clear, Jesus lays this out for us in the final verse of the passage we read today. He said, when you're talking, say yes when you mean yes, and no when you mean no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. You see, when we stray from the truth, we dishonor others. We are really manipulating other people with our words, with our lack of integrity to get ahead, using them as stepping stones so that we feel better, so that we don't get the blame, maybe. Perhaps to hide something. And remember here the invitation of Jesus to a higher way, a higher calling, is an invitation to take notice of his words and say, oh, that's what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God. That's something of what it means to follow the way of Jesus and become like him. Integrity is about consistency of character, like a building. That has integrity. It is secure and solid from its foundations all the way up to the roof. For us to be people of integrity is to be consistent in our virtues and our values, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter what stress we're under or how we feel about ourselves or other people that we're maybe comparing ourselves to. There's lots of different personality tests out there. I'm sure some of you have done some of them, and by all means, they're really useful tools, a lot of them, and perhaps not something to base your life on, but they can be useful tools in helping understand ourselves, some of our motivations and why we respond in different ways to different situations. And one of these tools really gets me here, if I'm honest. Let me read a little bit of the definition of this particular personality type that I relate to. Starts off well: self-assured, attractive and charming, competent and ambitious. I can deal with that. They can also be status conscious and highly driven for advancement. They're diplomatic and poised, but can also be overly concerned with their image and what others think of them. They typically have problems with workaholism and competitiveness. The problem is in the headlong rush to achieve whatever they believe will make them more valuable, someone with this personality type can become so alienated from themselves that they no longer know what they truly want or what their real feelings of interests are. In this state, they are easy prey to self-deception and deceit. Wow, self-deception. Now, I don't think that just applies to me or to any of you listening who can relate to that personality type. But I do think that when it comes to this pursuit of integrity, of truthfulness, that we have to start with ourselves, with looking at our own motivations, not in some kind of self-absorbed way, but rather in an awareness of what's really going on, what is behind the mask that we put up. Am I more concerned with what people think of how I look, whether people will like me, than how I might serve them and love them and release and equip them into everything that God has for them? And we've all experienced being lied to, being let down or deceived by a friend or a family member or a colleague. And we know the turmoil it can cause, the distance it puts between us and the other person, the hurt, the pain. What might it look like instead if we were committed to being people of the truth, committed to radical integrity, even if it cost us something? Now, it's probably important, even if it's obvious, to note here the kindness and the gentleness with which Jesus always spoke the truth, the compassion that he had and was motivated by. This is not a license to suddenly start speaking your mind, even if it might be the truth, with no regard for someone else, for what they're going through, for what they're experiencing or feeling, true as it might be. But without love, our words are empty. We have nothing. We gain nothing, as the Apostle Paul writes. But what if we chased hard after this vision of integrity, which Jesus sets before us, as he blows up systems that hide what's really going on? Might we see something of the kingdom of God breaking in more in our neighborhoods, our friendship groups, our families, our workplaces? It's quite common now to call people who are in my generation, millennials, flaky. And it's perhaps slightly harsh, but also entirely fair, I think. It's never been easier to send a quick message saying, oh, I can't make it anymore, or that thing I committed to, I've actually got something else on, or really what we're saying maybe is something better came up, or it's a bit inconvenient for me. But we are to be a people of our word, to honor those that we make a commitment to by sticking to what we say. Obviously, circumstances change and things come up, but might we be a people who consider before saying yes, can I really commit to this? Am I willing to follow through, or do I just want to please the person I'm talking to or look good for my employer? Maybe that's just me. I've tried recently to really consider what I'm saying yes to a lot more, and that's partly enforced with two kids at home and being myself both working from home. You know, time's been compressed, to say the least, and I've had to not commit to as much. It's not been possible. And I think this commitment to being a people of truth and integrity starts small. It starts with me saying I'll take the bins out when I said I'd do it. It starts with you praying for someone when you said you would. With taking responsibility and being honest instead of making excuses. At the heart of all Jesus is teaching us is a way of life. The way of Jesus. We're reminded by Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians of this radical, relentless faithfulness of God himself. Paul writes this, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." This is not an empty invitation from Jesus. But by inviting us to this, he is declaring that it is possible through him and by him for us to be free, to move away from the exhaustion of half-truths, of trying to remember our story, to live in right relationship instead with God and with other people. And if this is something that you particularly struggle with, if you're sitting now knowing that, yeah, often I do make excuses or tell half-truths or I don't follow through on my word, then I want you to hear the invitation of Jesus and know that in that invitation, there's no place for shame, but that Jesus brings freedom from that. That he's not, again, he's not calling us to this as another rule to keep or, come on, try a bit harder. Remember, he does away with systems that weren't working. He's saying, this is the way that I have come to bring, and crucially, to make possible by his death and his resurrection, to be free from shame, to be free from having to pretend we're someone we're not. Jesus said that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. There's incredible power and responsibility in what we say, in how we can build others up or tear them down, in how we can keep our word and honor people, or we can not follow through on what we said and use them for our own advantage. And Jesus said he'd be with us. He brings freedom from shame. He invites us to a life of being with him, of becoming like him, of doing the things he did. So, be honest with yourself. What's really going on? Why am I motivated to make excuses or to not do what I said I'd do? Why do I say yes in the first place to something I've got no intention of following through on? Ask him to come in his gentleness and bring the transformation that only he can bring, to see other people how he sees them, that might inform how we then treat them with our words. And be honest with others. How might we bring freedom through our words, through our radical commitment to the truth and being a people of integrity? And be honest before God. Where do we struggle? Invite him in. He already knows it. And he loves to meet us where we are and to journey, for us to journey with him in what he's already doing. So this first Sunday in Lent, what a better time to be a people of truth, to be honest about the state of the world, the pain that we see all around us and across the world, to lament and be with people in that, and to point to the end of this Lent season, to Good Friday, to Easter Sunday, the death and resurrection and the hope that is in that. To be with people and to point to the hope of Jesus. And just as we finish, let's be clear here that we are not some sort of fortress or guardians of truth. I think we know that too well. But we do know the one who is truth. We do know the one who brings freedom and offers a new way, a different way, the Jesus way in the kingdom of God. A people of truth and integrity. Families and friends, workplaces, households committed to this radical integrity, where people don't question our word because we are known for being people of the truth, that we might see God's kingdom break in and bring transformation wherever we are, whatever situation we find ourselves. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, again, we welcome you and ask that you would just point out what you've been gently speaking to us about through these words of Jesus. We thank you that you are living and active, that you speak to us. And we ask that you would bring your freedom today, Jesus. Let anything which is from you this morning take root and continue to speak to us about that, and everything else just be forgotten or fall away. And maybe take a moment just now just to allow God to put his finger on what he's been speaking to you about, to allow him to speak to your heart what is really going on. Thank you, Jesus, for your compassion, for your faithfulness, for showing and teaching us a new way of life in all its fullness, life in full color. And we thank you for all you are doing among us. Amen. Amen.